Thanks for joining us. I'm J. Christian Adams. This is the Protecting Your Vote podcast, brought to you by the Public Interest Legal Foundation, publicinterestlegal.org. We're the nation's only law firm, nonprofit charity dedicated exclusively to election integrity, bringing cases all over the country to protect your right to vote. With me today, speaking of protecting your right to vote, is Linda Kearns. Good evening. Good afternoon.
Hi, Christian.
How are you doing?
I am good. It's great to be here.
So, Linda, I will say to everybody what I say privately. You are the best election attorney in the state of Pennsylvania.
I didn't think that you made that private. I thought you said that pretty publicly.
I do, but I just want to make sure everybody watching knows this. So when you talk about elections and lawyers, this is the real deal. Linda Kearns has been in Philadelphia as a sort of, you've been like the party lawyer in Philadelphia for a long time.
Right.
And just so folks know, the Pennsylvania legislature impairs your ability to be effective, don't they? Because they don't allow, for example, people to monitor elections in Philadelphia who don't live in Philadelphia. So you can't find Republicans usually.
It's always a challenge. It's a huge challenge, right?
And we talked about that over the years, how we might be able to challenge, speaking of challenge, that state law. And it sort of rigs the system against people, doesn't it?
It does, but we have so many problems in Pennsylvania. That's just one of them. But yes, Philadelphia is a huge county, and the registration there now is about, for every 7 Democrats, there's 1 Republican and more than 1 other, and other would be independent or any one of the minority parties. So it's overwhelmingly Democrat, and when we go to try to find poll watchers, we just can't. There's just not enough people to draw from.
And just to be clear, we're a C3 organization, so we're not in favor of Republicans or Democrats, but we are in favor of transparency. And we are in favor of watching an election and having eyes on the game. And so what does not having eyes on the game, eyes on the polling places, translate to?
Well, I would imagine that there could be a similar problem in counties where it's majority Republican. I think that people from both sides should be in every polling place, watching and keeping eyes on things. I think that's true for anything. So because we cannot draw people from outside of Philadelphia, and there's not enough people in Philadelphia that are not from the one party, we can usually just not find enough people.
Right. So let's play a little game. True or false Philadelphia elections?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Because a lot of people out there have never been to a Philadelphia election. And I have. I was at the Department of Justice, and I would monitor Philadelphia elections. And I could tell you they're nothing like anyone has ever seen anywhere. So let's try this.
Well, I think Philadelphia in general is nothing like anyone's ever seen anywhere. But go ahead.
Okay. True or false? Some Philadelphia polling places are in a private home living room. True or false?
At one time, true.
Ah, so they've changed that.
They have pretty much stopped that. Yes, when I first started 20 years ago, your polling place could have been somebody's living room, and the woman who was running the polling place, her husband could have been sitting on the sofa.
Well, they were. I saw that firsthand. Okay, next true or false question. When you go into a polling place in Philadelphia, the person who is running the polling place, the election official, is sometimes on the ballot to be an election official. True or false?
Yeah, every 4 years, absolutely.
And that's not unusual to you?
I think it's horribly unusual. It shouldn't be happening.
So when I was at the Department of Justice doing Philadelphia elections monitoring, I would see that person checking in voters as the election official and then making sure that they voted for her. So she was reelected to run the polling place. It's amazing.
Well, that's Philadelphia.
Okay, one last true or false question. True or false, in Philadelphia, in the past, the new Black Panthers have stood outside with weapons in front of polling places.
Absolutely, and you probably know that story better than me, but actually, I was when that happened, I was in election court in Philly. Philly, we have a dedicated election court on election day. There's so many problems. Rather than have an emergency judge, we actually have a judge sitting
there. Okay, let's make sure everybody understood that. Philadelphia has so many problems. They have a dedicated court that is running
on election
like an
day.
Engine just running there.
Basically, with a judge, a staff, everybody standing by. And we've had that for 20 years. And the day that happened, the day that the new Black Panther Party were outside the polling place and they were brandishing billy sticks, I remember I went to the Democrat attorney and I said, this can't be happening. Can you do anything about it? And he said something to me that to this day is so offensive. The New Black Panther people were black people, and that polling place had a high majority of black people voting. And
98%.
And he said, well, black people aren't scared of other black people with weapons. And that just is absolutely ridiculous. But that just goes to show you the attitude towards elections and polling places. And
that's so outrageous that somebody should write a book about that.
They should.
Right. Okay.
In fact.
I'm not going to pitch the book today, but it is called Injustice.
All right. Available on Amazon.
So let's talk about Pennsylvania. Fast forward. True or false, Pennsylvania, PennDOT, was allowing for two decades non-citizens to register and vote.
Absolutely true. It's amazing that no one ever caught on to it. In Pennsylvania, and I assume this happens in other states, when you go to get your picture taken, you bring in the card that they send you in the mail, and then there's this computer screen in front of you, and you just have to press buttons to confirm what's on the card that they sent you in the mail. Is this your name? Is this your address? Would you like to be an organ donor? And so forth. Well, that one of the questions is, would you like to register to vote? That used to be a question. They just changed it, which I'm sure we'll get to. And then a few screens later, they would say, are you a United States citizen? And the problem was you were getting asked if you wanted to vote prior to being asked if you were a United States citizen. And non-citizens were registered to vote in Pennsylvania for years.
20 years. Now, for those of you watching who work at Google and YouTube, who are deciding whether or not to shadow ban this video, let's make it clear let's make your job easier. This is like an admission they were doing this. This is not fake news. This is not, conspiracy theory. This was an admission by the state of Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that for 20 years, a glitch in the system was registering non-citizens.
That glitch, I don't think that's a glitch.
At a minimum, there's a glitch.
I would call a glitch maybe if the screen flickers. Right. Not that you're registering people who are not eligible to vote in droves in Pennsylvania.
But I'm trying to help the censor who's watching this.
Okay.
The censor who's watching this needs to understand this was an admission by Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
They were doing this. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is not a myth. This is not a fable. This is not something for Snopes to debunk. This is an admission they did this. Okay, so let's talk about what happens next. We discovered this. I think you and I were actually in the Philadelphia City Election Office. I'll never forget this. And we're sitting there, and there's a box on the floor. And I just happen to see the box. You remember this?
Yes.
And I'm looking at the box, and there's a big label on it that says, non-citizen voting records. And I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, what could that possibly be? So I asked, what was the guy's name? You know him better than me.
Oh, that was so long ago. I don't remember. I think that guy retired.
Okay, so we have a Sherpa, right, in the office, remember?
Right, because you're not allowed to roam around by yourself. Like, I don't know what they thought.
So the Sherpa's with us, and I'm looking at this box that says non-citizen voting records. I said, hey, can I ask you a question? That box right there says non-citizen voting records. And I kind of moved, and it was really heavy. It wasn't just like an empty box. And he said, oh, yeah, that's all the documents related to non-citizens registering and voting. And I was like, my gosh, it's a jackalope. It's a thing that the left tells us never occurs.
You know, I appreciate you telling the story, and I appreciate how entertaining you're making it. But at the heart of it, this is not funny.
Yeah, one's laughing out there.
You're making it funny, and I think that helps, because some election law material can be dry. So you're making it entertaining, but this is an absolute travesty.
Well, but part of it is this. At the time, nobody really thought this was happening. Remember, this is almost 10 years ago.
Right.
And so to have tangible evidence that this was actually occurring in the form of government records saying so. Now, that started the dominoes falling, didn't it? The whole Secretary of State resignations in Harrisburg, the whole history of the disaster of the PennDOT glitch started with that box.
Right. Don't use the word glitch. You're a big one to always tell me not to use wrong descriptions. And it's not a glitch. It's a disaster. It's a debacle. It's not a glitch.
Okay, so then we said, oh, this must be a problem across the state if this is happening in Philadelphia. And we started using federal law very strategically and systematically to try to extract that box from the other counties.
Right.
Right? Their version of the non-citizen voting box right. on the floor. Which also, by the way, that's how they store records in Philadelphia. They just throw a box on the floor. Like, it's just laying there, remember? Just laying there. No storage protocols.
Again, not funny, Vic, but this is reality.
Right, and this is the difference. You have to go into election offices to understand what's happening.
Right.
Right, if we hadn't been doing the shoe leather work and visiting these offices, we would have never found out that Pennsylvania for 20 years was registering non-citizens to vote. And that's one of the things the Public Interest Legal Foundation does. That's one of the things you do. Okay, so next step, we asked for the records from the state of Pennsylvania. And by the way, this story is like 8 years long that we're telling.
Absolutely, and it's still going
on. It's still going on. And it's going to have arguments in the Federal Third Circuit Court of Appeals next year.
Yeah, let's hope.
Right, well. So then we start asking for these glitch records, disaster records from all the other counties. Some counties start giving them up, like Allegheny.
Yeah, they were great.
And you should read the Public Interest Legal Foundation report called Stealing the Vote, spelled S-T-E-E-L, like the six-time Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Eagles did win a Super Bowl.
Two. Okay.
No, we only won one.
Oh, that's right. No, you won two, didn't you?
No, we lost.
You lost to Oakland?
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. The Oakland loss in 1980. Okay, so.
You knew that.
No, I didn't. I really thought Philadelphia won that. You're right. They finally won. Did they beat the Chiefs?
We beat the Patriots.
The Patriots. Good. There's nobody deserves to be beat more than the Patriots. Okay, so we sue because we start seeing in the Pennsylvania, in the Pittsburgh records, in the Stealing the Vote report, like all these people are registering. Thinking like, oh, I thought this was a student council election. Somebody told me I'm allowed to vote. I didn't realize I was registering to vote. Like all of this garbage that we're getting the records from.
Or real human interest. I am an immigrant. I'm trying to get citizenship. And this is really going to damage or foreclose me upon ever becoming a citizen. And this is a real problem. And
right.
How did I get on these voter rolls?
Correct. Because they will be thrown out of the country.
Right.
While they're following all the rules on green card application if they register to vote.
Right.
And they have to disclose that when they file their naturalization application. It's question 12 on the naturalization form. So this disaster / glitch coming out of Harrisburg was affecting real people negatively. Not just polluting our voter rolls, but also affecting people's immigration status. Well, we decided then to ask the state for essentially their big giant box at the size of the studio of all the non-citizen records. And did they give it to us or not?
No,
that was years ago.
Yes, and it's still going on.
And you're one of the lawyers in the case along with Public Interest Legal Foundation.
Absolutely.
And
I'm your Pennsylvania counsel.
Right, and we eventually won that at the trial court, right?
We did, we won.
It's called summary judgment. And for the non-lawyers out there, tell them, is a summary judgment win even more clear than a trial court trial win? Like, it's like there's no way you could lose, right?
Right, because the judge decides. In looking at all the evidence that we have, there's just no other result except this one.
Right. So we win summary judgment. And certainly by that point, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania decides to turn over their records, right?
Unfortunately, no. And what's actually funny about that, well, again, not funny, but every administration in Pennsylvania talks about transparency and how this is the fairest election ever and we are so transparent. And they're on the news saying that. They're giving sound clips saying that. They're on Twitter saying that. And yet we have a court order saying turn over the records. And the answer was no. They filed more motions, motion to clarify. Let's reconsider this. And then they appealed it.
Right. And we will next year in 2024 have arguments in Philadelphia before the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right.
Defending our victory because Pennsylvania decided it was worth the time and trouble to appeal it to the Third Circuit.
And that's doubly offensive to me because I'm not only a lawyer who cares about election integrity. I'm a Pennsylvania taxpayer. So I'm actually paying these people not to give me these records.
Right. So this story has an absurd angle to it, right? Let's see the absurdity and take it up a notch.
Okay.
I want to tell the viewers, because this might be the only forum where this story gets out, about the behavior of the Pennsylvania Secretary of State when we attempted to serve her with process. Can we talk about that?
Oh, that okay. That's not the story I thought you were going to say, but sure.
Well, yes. If you have a better absurd one, let's do it. But so,
well, just who the Secretary of State is now and who the Secretary of State was at the beginning of the case, that's another part.
Right, there's been so many. And in matter of fact, a Secretary of State seemed to have lost his job over this story we're
right,
talking
absolutely.
About. So in case you guys think this is just trivia, no, this had real policy implications for elected officials because someone lost their job. Who was Secretary of State, got fired by the governor, right?
Right.
Okay. So we sued the Secretary of State in the story you just heard about. And part of any lawsuit is you have to serve papers on the defendant. So as I recall correctly, we took the papers to the Secretary of State's office in Harrisburg, which is the state capital for those of you who are not from Pennsylvania, took the service of process to the actual office of the Secretary of State, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't accept service here at this official office, right? Do I have that largely
right,
correct?
Right, which made it difficult because how else are you going to
okay,
serve?
Well, how else is where I come in? Everyone has a bed that they sleep in.
You're right.
And I said to the team, I said, okay, they want to play that way. Let's serve her at her home. And the reason this story is important is because it shows the arrogance of the elected officials in Pennsylvania who think they can get away with anything. So the process server.
Right. It's the process serving company I've used all the time. I'd used for years. I didn't really think much of it. I said, here's the picture. Here's the address. Just go serve this. You serve it to an adult.
Which is totally legal, by the way.
Absolutely.
In fact, the statutes all envision this as a way to serve process.
Right.
So the process server goes to the Secretary of State's home. She doesn't even live in Harrisburg. She's like lived in like the Tony suburbs of Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Like Montgomery County, maybe?
I think we're Bucks County, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, one of those counties.
So the process server goes to her house. Nobody takes process there, right?
Nope.
And so the process server leaves because nobody has taken, I'm not sure if they didn't open the door, whatever. The process server is driving away after he gives up, and what happens next?
He has an encounter with the police.
The police chase him.
Yes, and they asked him all these questions.
Like, what are you doing at the house?
What's in the envelope?
Yeah, what's in the envelope?
Yeah, and that was amazing to me. Never heard of it. And I don't even think I found out about it right away because the process server just didn't even think to tell me that happened. And so, yeah, that was pretty shocking. Like, this is the United States. We're allowed to sue people.
Right, and so the process server was intercepted
exactly
by a local police officer in pursuit. They got a call, right, from the Secretary of State. The police chased down the process server, pulled them over, made a stop. This could be a law review question or a bar exam question. Made a stop, demanded to know what was in the envelope, and interrogated the process server.
I guess there's no crime or other problems in Pennsylvania to keep the police
busy. You know what? You're right. I was in Philadelphia recently, and I agree with you completely.
It must be.
The train station is completely crime-free.
Exactly.
Okay.
The entire place.
So the reason I'm presenting this absurdist story is to show the priorities of Pennsylvania election officials. They don't want transparency. They want to spend taxpayer dollars to hide the facts about non-citizen
Absolutely.
Voting. And then they sick the police on people when they want to serve legal process in a case.
Right. This case is, I feel, horribly offensive. They admitted it. There's non-citizens on the voter rolls. Why are they fighting us? Why are they spending these resources?
Right. So let's fast forward to 2024. Pennsylvania has not made a lot of improvements since 2020 election, have they? Or do we have good news?
Well, it depends on who defines the word improvement. The governor recently, by executive order, decided rather than giving you the opportunity to register to vote when you go to get your driver's license, you will be automatically registered to vote. So remember I told you about that computer screen that said, would you like to register to vote? So he, by executive order, changed that so that now you are told you are being registered to vote unless you opt out. So that is just, I believe, as most people do who encounter automatic voter registration, we're going to end up with more people on the voter rolls that didn't intend to be on the voter rolls, didn't necessarily want to be on the voter rolls, didn't understand what they were doing, are at a government office that says, you will do this unless you opt out. And some people might think, well, I better do this. So,
you know, I might be more inclined to support that if we saw the records we've been seeking for 8 years to see what they did to fix this glitch. Like, if I saw that they know what they're doing in fixing this automated registration procedure, I'd have more confidence as a Pennsylvanian that maybe they can pull this off. But they've been hiding these records, haven't they?
Yep. We still don't have them.
For those lawyers watching, aren't they also trying to expand what's called work product privilege in this case? In other words, they're hiding their federally mandated list maintenance activities behind the wall of lawyers?
And actually, that was one of the things that most offended me about this. Under the NVRA, we're allowed to get these records. And what they did was they hired what they're calling a consultant or an expert. And they said that he or she worked on their, because we still don't know who it is, worked on their list maintenance activities. And therefore, because the lawyer hired someone, that's all covered under the work product theory. But that's, I mean, if the court allows that, then everybody could do that to hide something. And our laws, our jurisprudence doesn't allow that.
Yeah, the every single case of public interest legal foundation is brought on these public records issues under the NVRA, true or false, they've won. Right. Okay. It's true. Okay. So listen, Linda, it's been a blast. It's always fun to have you visit. You represented the president, didn't you? President Trump.
I did in 2012. Oh, the campaign, yes.
Has president. The nasty gang of activists tried to file bar complaints?
So when I represented the president, apparently the people were putting information out on Twitter about me, and I had all sorts of people writing to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court saying that my law license should be taken away from me because I chose to represent the president. I think that's calmed down, but that what rained down on me, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah, who these people are, though.
The public, the emails, the phone calls, the voicemails showing up at my house.
I forgot about all those.
The things that they were saying to me. And I know that we're making this entertaining fun, but at the end of the day, a lot of election law can be tedious. I mean, I can sit here and talk to you about what it means to fill out, date, and sign a ballot. I could probably talk to you about that for 4 hours now. I don't think anyone would listen to it for four hours.
We're going to do our next podcast on materiality.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, no, these are ugly people.
But that's the kind of work an election law lawyer does, yet these people were threatening me and threatening my life and saying all sorts of nasty things about me and saying that I shouldn't be allowed to be a lawyer anymore. And yeah, that was an incredibly unpleasant experience. But it didn't stop me. I didn't quit.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You have been watching Protecting Your Vote. It's a podcast by the Public Interest Legal Foundation. You can learn more at publicinterestlegal.org. We have all sorts of information about the Pennsylvania case. Go look up Stealing the Vote. That is a real serious journey into non-citizen registration and voting. And for you censors out there at YouTube, you ought to check it out. I'm Christian Adams. We'll see you next time on Protecting Your Vote.